your questions, your comments on the Bills win over the Rams. We're going to get to John Murphy as well. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Murph's segment is brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. John is with us right now on the West Shore Hotline. Good morning, John Murphy. How are you?
I'm well, Howard. Thank you very much. Good morning.
So did you dust off the old, you had to get the old broadcast playbook that you and Van would have had in the heyday in the 90s when the Bills offense was pumping out points? Like, he actually, Josh Allen broke a Bills record set by Jim Kelly. We're in a different neighborhood, Murph, with this passing offense.
Yeah, they looked almost unstoppable, didn't they? I mean, they just kept moving the ball, moving it downfield. They got, you know, some short fields to work with, which always helps, but they were biting off big chunks of yardage. I'm kind of reviewing the game today, and there's so many big plays to look at. I mean, there's just so many big plays made by both sides, actually, and it was pretty amazing that the Bills were able to do that right through to the end, right through the final drive of the Buffalo's final drive of the game.
What more can we say about Josh Allen, Murph? I think it's we've already established how he looks so comfortable and everything and operating in this offense. And even yesterday, the interception, a couple of crazy moments where he's scrambling, one fumble. He has the ability to lead that, you know, game-winning touchdown drive and hit some really big throws, especially to Cole Beasley on that drive.
Yeah, and you just said the word that comes to mind for me, and that's lead. You know, the numbers are great, 311 yards yesterday, three straight 300-yard passing games, the touchdown passes. The numbers are spectacular, but it's really the leadership and the maturity that he shows in leadership, you know, that I think has been most impressive this year. They, even down, you know, the way they were with 4.5 minutes to go, he just had the composure to lead him downfield and get him in position for the go-ahead touchdown to make the plays he does, to command the offense the way he does. That's what's most impressive. There's a lot to be impressive by Josh, the way he's throwing the ball and everything and the numbers he's putting up. But most, I mean, for a fourth quarter comeback, consecutive weeks, that's huge. And yeah, and to do it against a really good team in the Los Angeles Rams is even bigger. That's what gets my attention most of all, just how he's led by example, really, for the first 3 weeks of this year.
I think one of the many things that's really encouraging about the offense, you know, they get to halftime, and I don't know that you could have played a much better offensive first half. They look so good. And then you go check the stats, and you see no catches for Diggs, no catches for John Brown. And they still had 21 points and had an incredible first half performance when two of their key weapons were kept in check. Brown, of course, was injured and doesn't come back. But two of their big weapons didn't produce, and they still had that kind of first half. It's the depth of their offense, too.
Yeah, and the depth overall, I think, of the team, it's a thing that struck me back in preseason when they're practicing in Orchard Park, just how deep they are. You know, they lose John Feliciano, and they have an answer. They lose star Lotulelei, who decides to opt out, and they have an answer, you know. And that shows on offense. As you point out in yesterday's game, they have answers. Even when top-line guys get knocked out or maybe out for a few plays even, they have an answer. And that's how you build a team. That's Brandon. That's a testament to the offseason work done by Brandon Bean and his department.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. We didn't mention Bean earlier when we were spreading credit around, because I wanted to ask you about Brian Daboll and his first three games and how he's using all these weapons and the game plans he's developing, Murph, and the ability to put design plays and put things together to get guys open so much for the quarterback. I probably should have mentioned, hey, Brandon Bean in the front office, good job assembling all this talent on the offensive side of the ball around Josh Allen. But what about Brian Daboll's role in the first three games?
Yeah, he's been sensational. And, you know, the Bills receivers yesterday were open a lot and big, you know, they were open several times, and they had big cushions to work with, and that's impressive. And yeah, Daboll's done a great job. I think they haven't run the ball, even yesterday, they haven't run the ball the way they had hoped to maybe to start the season. That'll come around, I believe. It's been a focus on the pass through three straight weeks, which is good. I mean, they're 3-0, and I think Daboll, it seems to me, came into the season determined to expand the capabilities of his offense, you know, knowing that he had all these new weapons to add, Stephon Diggs, etc. But he wanted to be able to do things that he just didn't have the capability to do with that group, those groups they had for a couple of years. And now he does, and he's been creative. He's been consistent. He's been rock solid, really, in what he's trying to do on offense. And it's it's paying dividends to be sure.
Well, while Diggs was, you know, relatively quiet, and Brown eventually leaves the game injured with no catches, what about Cole Beasley's game yesterday, Murph? Because he stepped up big time, and on that game-winning drive, he ends up having three catches for like 57, 58 yards, including the huge third and 22. Just his ability to get open, to find that open spot, especially against the zone, and tack on some run after catch, he comes up and plays a key role in that second half.
Yeah, six catches, obviously, and that's the thing, you know, and, you know, I think so Beasley has played with Josh Allen now into his second year, and you can see even now the chemistry between those two developing, and I think that's the most important thing for a guy like Beasley, who's basically going to, he's not freelancing, but he's going to find a way to get open no matter what it takes, no matter what's called in the huddle. And he did that yesterday. He's done that now, and he does it more consistently now that he's got a good working relationship with Josh Allen. To lose the top two receivers, they have number three Beasley there, and they have him be have such a contributing part to play, such an important role to play in Buffalo's win is important. And it just shows you what you get when you have people around for a while. You know, they're not learning on the fly now. They're into their second year together, and they're kind of anticipating what the other guy's going to do. That was huge yesterday.
803-0550 to join us. Matt in New York. You're on with Murph here on Bills Football Monday. Go right ahead. Nope, maybe. Matt, you there?
Hey, guys.
There we go. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
I wanted to talk about Gabe Davis and really the find that Brandon Bean had in a pretty deep receiver draft. If you think about this year's draft, we really talked about those top five, six guys, first round. We pull a guy out in the fourth round. Many had an undrafted grade. And you just have to feel great about their ability to really scout guys on a national level, coming out of the American, and then show up when those top two receivers, as Murph was just saying, were taken out of the game. So just want to highlight Brandon Bean there. Super happy about three straight Buffalo Football Mondays. Who would have thought this team is a team that's expected to win on Sundays and just can't be more excited for Vegas coming up this week.
All right, Matt, thanks. Yeah, Gabriel Davis, Murph, again, was one of the really big stories at training camp. Everybody was talking about how impressed they were and how he looked really good in the practices and had, what, four more catches yesterday? Beautiful catch on the sideline and was the target on the big fourth down call that goes their way.
Yeah, that catch, first quarter catch, the deep pass, I think it went 39 yards, just a spectacular. He was, again, wide open. We said a lot of guys were wide open, but he had to adjust on the ball. He did. He made sure he got the toe tap down before he went out of bounds. He just does stuff that you don't expect, any fourth rounder. Now, it was a deep draft, as Matt said, so there was good talent in the fourth round, but you just don't expect that sort of game presence for a guy to make a play like that. And I got to say this, too. One of the guys that I really liked in training camp was Isaiah Hodgins, you know, who was, sixth rounder. So he's a practice squad guy. He hasn't been heard from yet, but I think he's going to have something to say in the years ahead, the next couple of years, about the Bills receiving corps, because I think he was a really talented player as well. Again, more evidence of the great job that Bean and the scouting staff have done.
Should we be worried about the defense after the second half yesterday?
Yeah, worried, I don't know. I mean, they didn't never force a punt, which is interesting. They got a couple of takeaways and turned it over on downs once. I don't know, worried, but yeah, I guess I'd be worried a little bit. They got to play better, right? That's what you'd be worried about. I mean, the 3-0, you don't want to worry about too much, but they got to play better. The Rams are a very good team. That's important to say, too. And people will always say, well, yeah, but there's no but here. The Rams are a good team. The Rams are a playoff caliber, maybe a Super Bowl caliber team this year, I think. And they're very good and very, very good offensively. And it's not because, you know, they don't have any spectacular weapons, which is maybe why you don't give them credit. I mean, Robert Woods is good and Cooper Kupp is good. Obviously, Jared Goff is good. They don't have any great spectacular offensive weapons, but they have a good plan engineered by a good coach. They run things at a pretty fast pace. They know what they want to do offensively. Even in the first half when the Bills, held them to, 3 points in the first half, they were still moving the ball. Bills never forced a punt. They turned it over a couple times, but I just think that was the number one problem with yesterday's Bills defense. The opponents, the Rams, were very, very good, a very well-crafted offensive, well-oiled offensive unit. That's what Buffalo was up against. But, yeah, the Bills have some issues on defense, I think, and it starts up front. You know, you can't give up that many rushing yardage to anybody, but that's tough to watch. And it's a very good offensive line for the Rams, and they outplayed the Bills up front, I think. There's some injury issues, obviously at linebacker a couple of weeks ago. Micah Hyde got banged up a little bit yesterday, so you got to keep an eye on that. Sure, the defense has to get better. There's no question about that, and I think they will.
We'll get to Matt in Pennsylvania next. Go ahead, Matt. You're on with Murph here on WGR.
How you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
I just want to talk about the Lee Smith touchdown play and the sequence of plays leading up to that. It looked like that play was supposed to originally go to they were trying to get to the Ryan Bates there. It looked like he was leaking out to the left, and that was covered. And Josh Allen had to reset and come back late to Lee Smith, and he found him for the touchdown there. But that sequence of plays leading up to that, a couple plays before that was the overturn of the Diggs play, the trips motion play. Eric Wood talked about that on Twitter, how New England used to run that play all the time, and it's pretty much impossible to stop. And I saw Tampa Bay had run that play yesterday with Brady, and they motioned Evans in, and he scored on that play too.
Yeah, I thought he looked first to Croft on the touchdown pass to Lee Smith. They had all the big people in. Murph, I don't know if that was if it was designed for Ryan Bates or not. I'm trying to recall how that play shook out.
He had some options there, to be sure. And they had, as the caller Matt pointed out, they had extra tight ends. They had a big lineup in there. And he had some options, which is kind of what you're looking for. I want to talk about the touchdown that was wiped out. He mentioned a couple of them, but the Diggs touchdown, there was a holding call on Brian Winters, and I went back and looked at it three or four times this morning. I don't see a hold. I really don't see a hold. I think it's maybe one of the most under-examined plays of a very poor performance by NFL officials yesterday in that game. I don't see a hold at all on that play. Wiped out a touchdown for the Bills, but they just kept after it, obviously. They had scored three touchdowns. First two of them were wiped out. They had some good options on the Lee Smith touchdown catch, and Lee's a pretty valuable option, too, as a matter of fact.
I'll save you some time, Murph. Don't go back and watch the interception again. You'll never see video evidence of it.
No, that was awful. That was terrible.
To be honest, still can't understand.
Los Angeles today, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the phantom pass interference. That was not much of a pass interference call that essentially cost the Rams the game, and they have a good argument to make in Los Angeles about that.
I think it was illegal contact, but then you can still get to Gabriel Davis did a good job of selling it, I think, too.
Yep.
But whatever. All right, hey, Murph, thanks as always for coming on. You're 3-0 so far this season. Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks, Albert.
All right, John, we'll talk to you Friday.